company recently produced 52 fights for Touchstone ABC based on the book by the same name. And they've also done recently Thieves of Baghdad, Men's Guide to the Women's Bathroom. They come back in Police Fight, which were on Lifetime. And calling in the one, which is a big random house. Philippa Burgess.
I love this conference, and I'm so thrilled to be here, and I'm so thrilled that all of you are here. So, okay, I want to find out, who's come from the furthest away? So let's start locally. Who's here from the Bay Area? Okay, a lot of Bay Area people. Who here is outside of the Bay Area? Like, who's in California, but where are you from?
Sacramento.
Okay, any other Southern California people in the room? Okay. Out of state. Okay, a lot of out of state. Out of country. All right. Where are the out of countries?
From Eastern Townships, outside of Montreal.
Excellent. Canadian. Very
good.
Hello. Different countries. Different countries represented here.
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. Oh, like wow. Israel.
Well, it could be Israel, Palestine, whatever.
Very good. Okay. Yes.
I'm from India.
India. Excellent. So we have a global marketplace, and we have global participants. And I think that one of the things I want to convey in the session is this idea that a global consciousness in everything you're doing. And I think that for a long time, people have definitely seen that there's a specific track. People are in PR, people are in publishing, people are in Hollywood. And I really want to expand your consciousness to see that they are very different silos, but they all work together, and if you master one of them, you have great traction in any of the others. And there are so many ways that you can get started, and my niche, and one of the things we'll talk about is cultivating an audience. My audience is you, and so I look to be sort of someone who informs, inspires, and challenges writers, hosts, authors, experts, actors, filmmakers, content creators. So my niche is sort of, say, marketing for writers. So we want to figure out what's your niche. And so in my business and my life and sort of how it's evolved, just to give you a little bit of my background, I grew up in New York, New Jersey, and I grew up in the suburbs until I was about in high school. My father remarried and moved into Manhattan. And I got to tell you, being a teenager in New York City was one of the most amazing experiences. And I became fascinated, absolutely obsessed with media, because I loved if Donald Trump was our neighbor, and we lived across the street from Liza Minnelli, but I loved theater, I loved the arts, but I also loved business, and I loved how things came into public consciousness, and whether it was publishing, whether it was PR, whether it was feature films or television, that became something I was fascinated by, is reverse engineering success. How did this get into our public consciousness? So we're here for the idea of a brand. So my question to you is, what is a brand? For some of the answers are here. But when you think of brands, we obviously think of companies. We think of Coca-Cola. We think of Tiffany's. We think of auto manufacturers, Mercedes, BMW. So we also, but books and content are brands. Filmmakers and authors are brands. So the question is, what is a brand? I don't have the answer on the board, so I'll throw it out. Who wants to chime in? You, sir. Yes, you.
A brand is how you characterize something. It's the traits of something that make it specific and different from everything else.
Okay, so you've got some traits going on. Okay, yes.
I was going to say it's an identity.
An identity? Whose identity is it? And I ask that to say, there's things that you create in a boardroom, and Coca-Cola, they may say, this is the brand we want. But in reality, the brand actually exists in people's minds. It's not what they want it to be, it's what is. Now you can shape what is, but essentially you're creating a file in someone's brain. So when you mention somebody, so like a successful brand, and brands evolve and devolve. So let's take a look at someone like Michael Jackson. In the 80s, he was the king of pop. Now his brand has evolved. Now, why is that? Because a brand is a promise. Very simply, a brand is a promise. And so if I go to read Stephanie Meyer's because I like Twilight, I know what I haven't read New Moon. I haven't read all the others in the series, but she's a promise to me. I know what I can expect from her. And that's really important as you navigate the entertainment and media landscape is what can we expect from you? What can we expect from you? I need to know those expectations, not only in your concept, in your execution, in your ability to understand the business, and how well socialized you are and how professional you show up so that I can do business with you. So all of those things are the promises that you come to the table with. So we talk about create mindshare. Part of your job as a writer, author, expert, content creator is to cultivate fans. Why are you all here? Well, you may be a new fan to the Writers Conference, or you may be a long time. I'm a long time fan of this conference. And I'm a huge fan of what Michael and Elizabeth do here because I think it's such an extraordinary teaching conference. And I think there is such a learning curve that you need to be on in order to be successful in this business. I think it's very doable, but it's simple, but not easy. So in that sense, the idea that you're here, that you're committed, is fabulous. So what they're doing in hosting the conference is creating fans. We hope that you'll be a fan of the conference. You'll share it with your friends, you'll come back, and they have fan pages on Facebook. So what you want to do is, as an author, writer, expert, content creator, is cultivate your fan base from wherever you are. Because you want to create mindshare. That problem of, I've heard of you. And whether it's in your local, can you start locally? These things are very logical. If every oak tree was once an acorn. And I think people see the Emerald City and they go, but it's so big, it's so intimidating. It's like, no, it's a little man with gear who's been at it a really long time. So that's what I want to show you is how do the gears work. And secret, big secret, people across Hollywood, publishing, and publicity do not necessarily know each other. There are three very distinct industries that need each other. And if you're making headway in one community, you'll find your efforts will be doubled as you infiltrate other communities. Because I've done the rounds with book agents in New York, and many of them, fabulous as they may say, oh, no, yeah, I have my film and TV contacts. And I go, really, are you guys doing network television? They go, oh, no, we meant TV movies. And they usually have about one or two people that are their go-to people. And if they pass, it's done. Whereas most projects get passed on by many, many people, and you really need to have inside people on the film track saying why something will or won't work and really working with you in that space. So feel free to make your own contact. Get your own understanding of that business. Don't just say, oh, I have a book agent, they're handling it for me. Same thing with PR. Don't just be like, oh, I hired a publicist. There's so much that you can do on your own that you don't need those people yet until you're at a certain point. And even when you do, you want to be empowering them with ideas and hooks and strategies and really knowing what they need to do their job effectively. So this promise is you're building a relationship with your fans. You're telling a simple yet powerful story. You're evoking an emotional response. So in the feature film world, people say, well, what's a genre? And I look at genre not so much as, oh, it's a sci-fi movie or it's a baseball movie. I think of genre in terms of what is the one specific emotion that you're eliciting from the audience. So the commercial genres on the dark side, horror, thriller, action. They each evoke a consistent and specific emotion for that in that movie experience. On the light side, it's action comedy, romantic comedy, fraud comedy. Now, drama is not commercial. And the reason is people don't go to movies necessarily to be sad unless they trust the actor who's going to take them there. They have to have that sort of word of mouth. That's an amazing story. But most emerging writers step forward with a drama and then wonder why all industry doors are closed to them. Because it's like, well, you don't start there. You can get there, but you don't start there. So that's, but think about the emotional response that you're looking to elicit in the stories that you're telling. Holding top of mind awareness means that you are the category leader in whatever it is that you're doing. Back to that promise. So studios run by lists. They're looking for a comedy writer, an A-list comedy writer. Are you on their list? So it's same thing with, if I say toothpaste, you say? Thank you. So that's top of mind awareness in that category. So as a content creator, how do you become a category leader? You're cultivating a fan base. And the other key is I want you to think about it moves across media platforms. So in this moment, anybody who came in here saying, I have an idea that I just really want to be a book, anybody came in with that concept? Okay, I want to strip that concept. Now you have ideas that move across media channels. So you no longer just have a book. You may have an article. You may have a blog. You may have a TV show. You may have a guest interview. There are millions of ways to get your content communicated. So I talked about, again, the secret that Hollywood publishing publicity are three very distinct industries. And don't let anybody who's in one industry that tell you that they know everything that is needed to be known in that space, I mean in the other spaces. But you have the power to take it on. There's so much out there. There's so many resources. So now I just want to, these are the basics. Economics of content. There's only two ways that you make money as content creators. Very simply put. One, it's paid for by the end user. Movie tickets, theater tickets, sporting events, books. So nobody else is going to do that for you. You have to know who is your end user. You have to know who's buying this product. Or it's paid for by the advertisers who are looking to get to that end user. So if you have a story to tell and you're thinking of it's a magazine article, well, think about who are their advertisers, who are their audience, who are they trying to get to, and why are your audiences a match? So those are the only two ways that anybody makes money in entertainment and media. So it's paid for by the end user, or it's underwritten by the advertiser. So I want to talk about your signature story from content creator to media brand. And it's a very simple formula. It's a great way to articulate yourself as you're here at the conference this weekend, as you're meeting people. It's the concept of who are you? Why are you the perfect fiction or nonfiction, why are you the perfect person to tell this story? Second is, what's your mission? What are you trying to accomplish? Is it to inform, inspire, entertain? What's your purpose? What do you want people to leave your work and your story feeling? And lastly, again, who is your audience? And it's fine to say everybody, that's a great goal, but again, start small. What's a small demographic, a small audience that you can own? And you can take them to be yours, and once you own that, then you can grow, and it grows organically. So that's a really big part of this idea of signature story. So again, stripping away this, I'm writing a book, I'm writing a movie, I'm writing an article, think of your content. Are you writing real-world fiction? Are you writing fantasy or animated fiction? Are you writing narrative nonfiction? Or are you writing general prescriptive nonfiction? So to give you some examples of what those are, real-world fiction, Grey's Anatomy, Sopranos, Law & Order, Everybody Loves Raymond, Two and a Half Men, Confessions of a Shopaholic. Now again, some of these we've seen, Confessions of a Shopaholic is book to film. So you're seeing stories that are moving across media platforms. Fantasy animated, Twilight, Simpsons, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That was a comic book. That was a TV show. That's licensing. That's merchandising. Harry Potter, Heroes. I put Rest in there because it's one of our client projects that basically was a screenplay. Didn't sell as a script, though there was a lot of interest. We set it up as a comic book with Milo Ventimiglia for Heroes. And ties into PR. What's he doing? He's going to Comic-Con. He's going to New York. And because he's on Heroes, all the media wants to talk to him. So he's got a great they talk about platform. What is a platform? A platform is nothing more than an ability to stand on a soapbox and have people